let us do a deep dive in this solution. Sorry, in this particular identity, in the network security. Identity management solutions are responsible for authenticating and authorizing the network-based users who need to use online services and resources. Identity management solutions generally include provisioning is the process of granting and revoking the appropriate access rights and privileges to employees, customers, suppliers, and business partners. Web access control products provide centralized and automated management to validate a user and then permit the user to access resources in an environment for which the user has been granted permission. If you are not having a granted permission granted for accessing a specific product or specific item in the entire network, you will not be in a position to allow access. SSO, single sign-on, allows a user to log on to every assigned system that user has access to once using a single user ID and password combination. So you will be having a user ID and password with other multiple digital channels today for access, giving an access like biometric or an OTP or a combination of both, by which you will be in a position to log into the application. Based on the roles of the specific user, the specific application will be allowed or not. So an organization can have multiple applications. All these applications will be controlled by a specific user ID and password. By this way, there is a user management and as well as a password management are taken care of automatically. IDAM is one more thing where identity application management, what will happen in this case is that a specific applications will be given access and roles from a single application instead of individual application taking care of the access thing. So whenever a specific person logs out or resigns and leaves from the organization, his access will be automatically cut off based on the SSO and the IDAM as well as the Active Directory. Vulnerability management helps the enterprise identify vulnerabilities or weaknesses in the computing environment and provide the infrastructure to eliminate them. Vulnerability management solutions generally include firewall is a system or group of systems that enforces an access control policy between two networks. Vulnerability assessment tools evaluate and monitor operating systems and applications for needed fixes to known problems such as viruses, worms, insecure backdoors, and security holes. All these particular things will be controlled by the vulnerability assessment tools. Network vulnerability scanning is a process of checking for all the potential methods an attacker might use to tamper with an organization's network by analyzing the types of software and system configuration on a given network. So the network vulnerability scanning will be constantly validating what are the applications that are there and what exactly is configuration that are changes that are happening in the entire network. And accordingly, it will automatically change the way in which the scanning or control the potential methods of an attacker. Threat management focuses on identifying and responding to anomalous and malicious events that occur throughout the network. So it will keep on recording and identifying and responding. So it may validate, block whatever is malicious events that are happening in the network. Threat management solutions generally include a combination of intrusion detection and security event management technology. Intrusion detection systems monitor network traffic, verify the integrity of system files, monitor network event logs, and may also include deception systems to lure and trap hackers. So there are ways in which the hackers will be decepted and trap them. That is very, very important, and that will be happening through an intrusion detection system. Security event management is and products actively monitor IT resources across an organization, filter and correlate events and automate responses for any security incidents. Trust management is the practice of protecting and enabling activities that are of high risk to the enterprise. These solutions rely on encryption and access control techniques to create a secure process for authorized individuals. Trust management solutions generally include public key infrastructure, PKI, where a combination of keys will be shared between multiple people. Between two interfaces is the combination of encryption technologies, digital certificates, and certificate authorities that allow enterprises to protect the security of their communications and business transactions on the internet. Basically, all the transactions will be controlled using the PKI infrastructure. Firewall is a logical wall spread around the IT domain of an organization that helps protect it from unauthorized user intrusion and attacks, and provides information privacy to the organization and its users. Any organization with an internet access installed installs a firewall at the gateway between its internal LAN and internet to prevent unauthorized or outside access and prevent inside users from access unwanted or malicious external content. A firewall includes and works with a proxy server that makes network requests on behalf of workstation users, and external requests is not made by the company's workstation directly. Rather, such requests are routed through the proxy server, and hence it is known as a proxy server. So for a proxy server, it will be having a different IP, and it will be for by the name proxy itself, it will be routed through the proxy server, and the external person request will not be directly coming to the workstation. Instead, it will be routed through the proxy server. Firewalls are always installed on a separate server so that incoming requests don't go directly to private network resources. There are a number of firewall screening methods. Typically, they screen for identified and approved domain names and IPs. So, as soon as it receives, it identifies whether it has received the request from the proper person or from a malicious attempt is trying to attack your applications. For users in transit with laptops, firewalls allow remote access into the private network by the use of secure logon procedures and authentication certificates. VPAs, VPNs are there in picture. Virtual private networks are available, and these are the things that are being used for work from home people. There are a large number of companies making firewall products, and most of their features include logging and reporting automatic alarms at given thresholds of attack with GUI interfaces for controlling the firewall. Today, earlier they were using alt configuration, backend configuration tools for doing the firewall controls. But today, people are having graphical user interfaces so that they will be in a position to do the validation on the monitoring using the GUI itself directly. Network Intrusion Protection System, NIPS, is an umbrella term for a combination of hardware and software systems that protect computer networks from unauthorized access and malicious activity. NIPS hardware may consist of a dedicated network intrusion devices, dedicated detection system, NIDS, and intrusion prevention system, IPS, or a combination of the two, such as an intrusion prevention and detection system. So there are all these particular items, software, it consists of an inclusion of a system, software as well as hardware to ensure that the network is getting controlled. The network is not in a position to provide, network is protected. NIPS continuously monitors an organization's computer networks for abnormal traffic patterns, generating event logs, alerting system administrators to significant events, and stopping potential intrusions when possible. Computers holding sensitive data always need protection. However, even seemingly insignificant networks can be hijacked for user in botnet attacks. Sniffer is one more important industry usage. It's a program that monitors and analyzes network traffic, detecting bottlenecks and problems. A sniffer can also be used legitimately or illegitimately to capture data being transmitted on a network. So, illegitimately, there can be a sniffer to identify what data is getting shared. A network router reads every packet of data passed to it, determining whether it is intended for a destination within the router's own network or whether it should be passed further along the network. Sniffers are often used on academic networks to prevent traffic bottlenecks caused by file sharing applications. Spyware. In general, spyware is any technology such as tracking software that aids in gathering information about a person or organization without their knowledge. Spyware can get in your computer as a software virus or as a result of installing a new program. Software designed to serve advertising, known as adware, can usually be thought of as a spyware as well, because it almost invariably includes components for tracking and reporting user information. Basically, spywares are the programs that are there in your computer or any computer to track what exactly the person is doing. Okay, it could be an illegal thing that has been said by your organization, or illegal thing that tracks whatever you are doing, like entering the credit card number, entering the password, OTP, etc. All these particular things can be captured by the spyware, and the data can be sent outside for a person to do a transaction on behalf of you or steal money from your credit card or debit card. However, marketing firms, and one more thing which we have discussed about is adware, where adware will be the thing that ensures that you are giving an appropriate advertisements as per whatever you are trying to do. However, marketing firms object to having their products called spyware. As a result, McAfee and others now refer to use such applications as potentially unwanted programs, PUP. So this will be like you, like in mobile also, you will be having these spywares installed so that it steals the data from your site, from the mobile. Host intrusion detection system and NIDS, in HIDS, host intrusion detection system, anti-threat applications such as firewalls, antivirus, spywares and spyware detection programs are installed on every network computer that has two-way access to the outside environment such as the internet. In NIDS, anti-threat software is installed only at specific points such as servers that interface between the outside environment and the network segment to be protected. Host-based and network-based ID systems have their respective advantages and limitations. HIDS examines specific host-based applications such as what applications are being used, what files are being accessed, and what information resides in the kernel logs. Network intrusion detection systems, NIDS, analyzes the flow of information between computers, that is network traffic. They essentially sniff the network for suspicious behavior. Thus, NIDS can detect a hacker before he is able to make an unauthorized intrusion. Whereas HIDS won't know anything is wrong until the hacker has already breached the system. So, NIDS is top of the HIDS, where first NIDS will be doing the entire validation. If NIDS is skipped by some or other reason, HIDS will come into picture. NIDS provides the ability to protect the computer systems from one network location. They also provide a broader examination of corporate network via scans and probes and allow administrators to protect non-computer devices such as firewalls, print servers, VPN concentrators and routers. So what are the business benefits of a network security? With network security in place, your company will be experiencing many business benefits. Your company is protected against business disruptions, which helps keep employees productive. Network security helps your company to meet mandatory regulatory compliance. And there are many cases where the network security was in a position to stop the DOS disturbances in the system. Because the network security helps protect your customers' data, it reduces the risk of legal action from data theft. Ultimately, network security helps protect a business reputation, which is one of its most important assets. Next comes the security policy. Information security policy of an organization is intended to protect the interest of the organization's stakeholders by ensuring confidentiality, integrity, and continuous availability of information systems under its governance. Organization uses the term information asset to emphasize that fact. The purpose of information security is to protect information assets from various types of threats in order to ensure continuous business operations, to minimize damages and to maximize business opportunities and return on investment. Any information security framework must maintain or ensure confidentiality, integrity and availability of information assets of the organization. Its scope is to provide management direction and support for information security in accordance with the business requirements and relevant laws and regulations. The benefits of implementing information security policies and practices are secure business information, manage risks, enhance customer confidence, improve security posture and culture, and build capability to rapidly recover from incidents and disasters. So, the government is also working towards a proper information security policies for the for each and every organization. And apart from this particular thing, each and every industry regulators, example, in case of banks, Reserve Bank of India is also working towards a proper information security policies. And in their audit that they are doing from the government, from the RBI, this particular point is also covered. And they ask for details like how the entire bank is managing the security threats for the specific organization, for the bank. And each and every bank is supposed to report to RBI on how many number of times the threats had come to the system and how the threat has been covered, controlled by the organization. The following are some of the policies that are typically specified in the information security framework. Information security policy, email policy, internet policy, personal security policy, intellectual property rights policy, policy document, DR and BC plan, data privacy related guidelines and media management guidelines. So, as an organization, it is necessary for the organization to have the their people, the employees alert on what are the information security policies using their learning systems. Scope of information policy is needless to say. The scope of information, such an information security implementation would be the entire company or a part of it, and defines the following: physical location, boundary, business process, broad IT infrastructure, interfaces and dependencies, and document the scope. So it is like a pyramid. ISO 27001 domains, pyramid for information security policies: policy, organization, asset management, human resource security, physical security, communication operation management, information systems development, accessories, access control, incident management, business continuity and compliance. So this is a pyramid that is being controlled from ISO 27000 domains. It is also essential that the enterprise-wide information security management system should specify detailed guidelines, processes and procedures to manage and protect information. The security policy aims at protecting clients and business information resources by safeguarding its confidentiality, integrity and availability. All information and related resources, systems, network and data are covered under the scope of this comprehensive policy, inclusive of customer information resources within the custody of the organization. Information security is a schematic diagram that gives an idea of such an implementation where the information security policies are getting implemented. So user, customer is specified, NDA, NDA will be signed by the user, where he is not supposed to disclose the non-disclosure agreement, where he is not supposed to disclose the details of the customers to the external people. With people moving from one place to other place, okay, so like an employee, he may be working from here in this organization, he may resign from this organization, join to some other organization. When he is going to the next organization, he is not be disclosing the data of the customer here. That is what is covered under the non-disclosure in agreements, and the customer specific agreement will be created, will be signed by the user, and he will be controlled by the personal security policy. He will be having access, he or she will be having access to the development environment only, and physical security, logical securities will be applied here, desktop security is also applied here in the development environment. He will be reaching towards a network, firewall, network security will be coming to picture, and VLAN, he will be working under VLAN. Next comes the data center environment, where asset management procedures will be considered, data privacy procedure, virus management, access rights policy, change management procedure. So change management procedure in the sense that from development environment, it is moving to live environment. The entire thing has to be handled in a change management procedure, where the user is, the developer is supposed to mention what actually is a change that is happening. What will be the functional change that will be happening? Whether is there going to be any security threat because of this particular change? Is there any web service that are going to be included in the change? Whether an outside person will be having access to the change that is going to come into picture? And what kind of data is getting stored in the development, in the code? Data block, data backup procedure should be maintained in the policy. Data proposal procedure, disposal procedure, how exactly data is going to be disposed after respective specific period, and capacity running. All these particular things will be there in the specific policy we are discussing about. The above diagram is a sequential representation of the various processes that are put in place to information to ensure information security. The diagram typically depicts how a user accesses data. The user is bound by the personal security policy and customer-specific non-disclosure agreement. Physical, logical and network security controls shield the data from users. Data is stored on servers in a data center. Various procedures such as asset management procedure, data privacy guidelines, data backup procedure, change management procedure, access rights policy and data disposal procedure implement a range of security controls that ensure data security while storage, transmission and usage and up to the disposal. These are the things that primarily has to be maintained by any organization, and that too for the organizations which are working with the data of external users, like say banks or Aadhaar card or whatever we are discussing about, where they handle data of some other people should be made, this policy has to be there, and all these are controlled by ISO 27001 standards. So let us discuss about the architecture or the structure of a specific information security organization in any organization. The IS steering committee, a team of members from the top management, is responsible for establishing information security policy and ensures that security objective plans are established. This is a typical information security organization. Chief operating officer, operations officers will be the topmost of the entire organization here. Then IS steering committee, information security steering committee will be covered, which will be having the management committee of the entire security operations, which will be controlled, and the chief information security officer will be reporting to IS steering committee. And corporate IS team and regional branch IS forums will be reporting to chief information security, and this will be chief information security officer will be controlling the entire security, information security through information security officers and disaster recovery manager. The IS steering committee communicates the importance of meeting IS objectives and confirming to IS policy its responsibilities under the law and the need for continual improvement. The committee also allocates budget for InfoSec activities, including staff and training of staff, continuous training. Here again, we are talking about continuous training for the staff. The IS steering committee decides on acceptable levels of risk that conducts a management review of ISMS. The regional information security forums support and ensure proper implementation of the ISMS uniformly across the region. So let us come to the next important chapter. Next important discussion point, corporate governance of information technology. The IT governance is part of the corporate governance framework and has come about due to the need to focus and measure the performance of all functions that are responsible for value creation. Information technology governance are primarily aimed at ensuring that spend on IT generates business value, provide management oversight, risk mitigation for mega projects in budgeting, approval process, and during the project life cycle. So all this entire project life cycle, entire organization life cycle, the risk mitigation is an important thing that has to be taken into consideration. With the maturation of Six Sigma techniques and its successful adoption by corporates such as Motorola and General Electric Corporation, it becomes possible to measure IT projects and correlate their performance and value generation directly to corporate objectives. IT governance has moved from pinning the responsibility on the CIO to shared accountability of the enterprise management and key stakeholders. There are a couple of popular models for corporate IT governance: the governance risk management compliance model, the governance value delivery performance management model, GVP, GRC, GVP model, quality assurance frameworks such as ISO 9001 and CMMI also provide an assurance framework for compliance and risk management and governance. So ISO 9001 ensures that the compliance and risk management and governance are there in the respective organization. The GRC model, properly known as government risk compliance, properly known as GRC governance model, this focuses on identification, management, monitoring, and analyzing the risk across enterprise IT, automating risk management and compliance process to meet the persistent challenge of regulatory change and regulator interaction, leverage risk data to prioritize IT investments, understand risk in the context of business process and goals, leverage compliance as a tool to mitigate risk and empower decision makers. So, managing risk and ensuring compliance and controls are essential components of good governance. The primary focus should be on delivering value and managing performance. That is where the GVP model comes in, that delegates the management of IT performance by retaining the stewardship of governance with the organization's governing body, separating the what and how. What and how basically is the what is to be achieved from the leveraging of IT resources, how to managing IT, planning, organizing, directing, and controlling use of IT resources. So these are the two things that will be covered under the GVP model: what and how. So next comes the corporate IT governance. These are the frameworks that are being covered under corporate IT governance: COBIT and ISO 38500. COBIT, control objectives for information and related technology. is regarded as the world's leading IT governance and control framework. It provides a reference model for 37 IT processes typically found in any organization. ISO 35500, Corporate Governance of Information Technology, provides an effective framework for IT governance to assist managers to understand and fulfill their legal, regulatory, and ethical obligations with respect to IT security. CMM is a model which is used for capability maturity model, focuses on software engineering. The balanced scorecard BSE method to assess an organization's performance in many different areas. These are the frameworks for corporate IT governments, namely COBIT, ISO 38500, CMM, and balanced scorecard. So let us move on to the next important topic for today's this chapter, data center outsourcing and HIMS. So data center, there is one more chapter which talks about IT outsourcing, where we are discussing about how the outsourcing happens. In the same kind of thing is happening in a data center also, where Indian IT service companies came in late into data center outsourcing, and HIMS, hybrid infrastructure managed service, are now well placed in the area of data centers. So what will happen in a data center is that entire data center will be outsourced to some specific organization who will be handling the entire data center activities. So from laying off the network and laying off the servers, keeping the servers, managing the servers, ensuring that the AC is on the proper temperature, all this will be taken care by a respective outsourcing vendors, and the organization will be managing this vendor. So companies such as HCL, TCS, DXC Technologies, Hewlett Packard, Wipro have set up their own data centers in US and Europe and are providing a range of services in public cloud, SaaS, PaaS, etc., and also in managed services. Hybrid infrastructure managed services include private cloud managed services, mainframe managed services, ERP hosting managed services, data center transformation services, cloud migration services, infrastructure utility services, and remote infrastructure management and edge DCMS. These are the different managed services that are coming into picture nowadays, and there are multiple vendors who are doing this particular activity. As a summary for the entire chapter, we have covered some of those areas of enterprise information systems that are essentially the backbone of any organization. So almost most of the areas we have covered, it is for the student to ensure that they understand more by going through the Google or going through multiple books and ensure that they are having a pretty knowledge on the entire way the entire enterprise information systems work. These are not visible to the user, however, they are enable the user to use the applications of day-to-day use. A basic knowledge of these and their importance are essential to selection and procurement of any business application software. Without the knowledge of all these particular things, it is difficult for any person to manage an enterprise, manage a software for any enterprise. Thank you.